Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where today we have something a little different to share with you.
Terry, you mentioned the other day it might be nice to have a bit of a roundup and chat about episodes we've recorded so far. We're into double digits now. So thought it'd be a nice time to just reflect back on what we've done so far, the takeaways that we've taken away, what we've found useful.
That sounds like a great idea, Daisy. So I'm curious, as you've looked back over the episodes that we've done so far, what are your thoughts?
Well, the first one that I actually did, I started, I think, maybe either just after we recorded or just before, I can't remember, but about the same time with the first episode with the gratitude journaling. I thought, well, if I'm going to talk about it, I'll do it again. And it made such a big difference the first time I did it. I thought, yeah, okay, I'll do this again for 30 days. I've chatted to people online as well who've been doing it maybe for the first time, who found it really helpful, or people who've been reminded about how helpful it was when they've done it before, and it's, you know, it's prodded them into doing it again. I have to say, I think I maybe had too high expectations because it made such a difference to me the first time. But I think that perspective shift that I'd had the first time, I've already made it. So I think I was sort of expecting somehow a repeat performance of that. But of course, I've done it already. So it was a bit more challenging this time. Challenging to come up with things. But I think it was just loaded with a bit too much expectation. But what I got out from that experience was that I do think it's a valuable tool that I feel that I want to find a new way of doing it. I think for a long time, I felt that there's a great deal of value in journaling, and it's something that I should be doing. I can sense that there's value to me doing it. I haven't quite found the format that's going to work for me. And you know me, I've got that rebel nature. So I always kind of rebel against something that I feel like I have to do every day. So it's something that's sort of in progress that I'm forming in my mind about how I'm going to bring journaling back into my life. But it did remind me of just being a bit more aware of that perspective, looking for the good in things, looking for what you're grateful for in the moment. And there was, it's not out yet, but a recording I did for Keto Woman. And we were talking about journaling, and she was talking about how she journals every day. And she had an idea that I really liked. And so she asks herself a question. And funnily enough, she has the same sort of rebel tendency. So she rebels against standard formats. And she asks herself this question every morning. What did I discover about myself yesterday? And that's where she starts. And I like that. I thought that was the kind of question that sits well with a lot of the themes we've spoken about. You know, what did I learn about myself? It feels like something productive, something creative can come out of that mindset. What did I learn about myself? What did I discover?
That's interesting.
So those are the kind of lines I'm thinking about. So journaling is going to come into my daily practice, but I haven't quite figured out how yet.
Nice. You just reminded me of two thoughts I had about that one. I got feedback from someone that was doing something a little different than a gratitude in the sense of a gratitude for, you know, today, but more a gratitude from their future self.
Oh, interesting.
Thanking their current self for what they're doing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good.
So I thought that was really interesting. And another one that I have done and may have mentioned, but is thanking, you know, just kind of the universe or whatever power that is for something that hasn't come yet. So getting myself in that place of gratitude about what's coming and stating it as if it's already happened.
Oh, I like that. Those are some really good framing thoughts to move forward with journaling. You know, what did I discover? What did I learn about myself yesterday? And what is my future self going to be thankful for me doing today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. That's given me some good ideas.
Nice.
So what about you, Terry? What are one of the things that you've maybe put into practice or has led you to start thinking down new pathways, form new neural pathways even?
So actually one of the episodes that you did, Daisy, about movement, and I know that I've been a lot less active in the past year or so, maybe more so since I moved here, and I know that movement has been really helpful for me in the past. Mental health wise, energy level wise, health wise. And so it really just encouraged me to start looking into that again. I work out with a trainer a couple times a week, but then between those days, I pretty much do as little as possible. And so I've gotten back into doing walking the past couple of weeks. I actually ordered a rebounder that I've been hearing so much positive feedback about from people. So I'm really looking forward to bringing that aspect back because I know how valuable it's been to me. And listening to you talk about it in that episode really helped me to kind of make a commitment to myself to bring that back.
They really look like a lot of fun, those mini trampolines.
I hope so. You know, I think I'm always looking for, you know, one of the things you said in that episode from Kelly McGonigal was really looking at it shouldn't feel like something that's obligatory or painful. And I think I have struggled so much with exercise feeling that way in my past.
Me too.
And so now when I think of needing to add more movement, I know I want to avoid that. And so I've been hearing people talking about the rebounder. And although it looks like you can do quite an intense workout, it doesn't seem that people dread it as much as I dread some other forms of exercise. So I'm really looking forward to it as being something that's beneficial health-wise, mental health-wise, and something that I don't resist doing as much as I do other forms of exercise.
The other thing I've noticed with you is something that combines that, forms that relationship that you find exercise or movement pleasurable, is that you enjoy photography. You enjoy, I can sense from some of the pictures that you put on social media that you're just aware and sort of looking out for nice things to take photographs of as you're walking. So it becomes this pleasurable experience that's about being outside and being aware of what's around you and all that, you know, being that would make a nice picture and it, more than just exercise.
Yeah, that's been a good reconnect for me when I do the walking, because it's getting outside, it's exploring, finding things to take pictures of. I've also been listening to a book while I'm walking. And most of the books I read are health-related, nutrition-related, psychology-related, a lot of self-help kind of books. And I'm actually just listening to a totally different book. It's more of an autobiographical book. So again, just a change of pace for me. So it makes walking feel like something like, ooh, I get to listen to that book while I walk. Mm. So I can listen to the book, I can take pictures, I can see cool things in the area. So you're right, it combines other positive aspects as well.
And I've been focused on that as well. I've known for a long time that I need to start moving a bit more. And there's, you know, I move a bit with some of the work I do and things like that, but very much wanted to bring some different forms of exercise in. I was determined, I have been determined for quite a few years now. It's been my thing I've been determined to do and haven't got around to doing it, of being able to do press-ups, you know, proper full press-ups. And very much can't do them, but so I've been starting against the wall. And it's an episode that I want to talk about actually in a future episode, but Rangan Chatterjee talks about, he has a book called 5 Minute Something or Other, but he talks about these health snacks And he talks about different sort of pillars of health and has all these different little 5-minute things. Like I said, I want to do an episode on that at some point. But one of the things he talks about is tying these little 5-minute exercise breaks, tying it to something you regularly do, like putting the kettle on for your morning coffee, something like that. So you have, you make that connection, you make that habit, it's a lot easier to form. I think, is it BJ Fogg, I think, talks about that. And it's a lot easier then for it to just become part of your routine. And so that's exactly what I was doing. I would put the kettle on and I would do my wall press-ups until I got a problem with my elbow. I'm not sure. Google says it's something like tennis elbow, even though I never play tennis, but it's been very, very sore. And I exacerbated it by moving very heavy furniture around. So I haven't been doing that. I have been looking at some other things that I've been interested in doing for a long time, like Qigong. So sort of combination of gentle movement, core strengthening, meditation. I think I had underestimated actually how important it is. My focus has always been a lot heavier on the diet side than the exercise side. And an interview I did with Daryl Edwards for Keto Women really changed my mind about that. He leans more heavily on the exercise side. Mostly he sort of said, really just to kind of justify the imbalance, if you like. But his main message was just saying how important they both are for health and do different things and work so well together. And I've definitely very much neglected that side of the equation. So yeah, for me too, it's been something that I've been focusing a lot more on.
Good thing we decided to do this podcast so we can be refocused ourselves. It's a benefit. Another episode that I keep going back to, haven't really figured out yet how I'm incorporating it effectively, but it's a reminder in the back of my mind, is the episode about distraction and time management. And this has never been a strength of mine, and so it's definitely an area I still want to work on. And as I'm sure we'll talk about today, with some things that we both have been working on implementing, for me, that then requires some organization, because otherwise I can get really focused on doing one thing and then let everything else slide, or commit to doing it but then not following through with it. So it's taking me back to that episode, and you know, maybe I really need to go back to this time blocking of my schedule. My workday is very blocked out already, but you know, blocking out maybe my evenings and my weekends more, so that I am sure to do those things that I'm now saying are priorities to me. But because I kind of let them go until the evening and then I restart to relax, or I think I'll do it on the weekend and then don't get to it, that I am much more pulled by distraction right now. I can spend many hours doing very little. And so I think I really need to work on that time blocking my schedule, so that I can really focus on my priorities.
Yeah, me too. I even went to the extent of drawing up a time box day. In fact, 2 days, an alternative, depending whether it was a streaming day or a podcast editing day. And so I had, slightly different schedules accordingly. The rebel in me is strong at resisting any kind of formal framework that either somebody else or I'm trying to force myself into. So I really battle against that, even though I can really see the logic and the advantage of doing it. So I haven't actually adhered to it yet, but I have been kind of thinking a bit more in those terms, of being more aware of it and at least trying to sort of mentally time box. Yeah, so for example, when I'm editing, is I'll look at the time, and I've already turned the main distractions off on my laptop, But I'll do things like I'll quit the mail application so that doesn't notify me. I'll turn all the notifications off. I'll look at the time and I'll time box an hour. I'm going to edit for a solid hour. And then I'm going to get up, have a bit of a stretch, maybe go and have a drink. Then I can check mail, check notifications if I want to, but not for very long, and then get back to another blocked out, focused hour. So I have been kind of implementing it in ways that don't kick off my rebel side too much.
That's great. I think it's important to find anytime we listen to any wisdom or any expert talk about something, it's easy to say, oh yeah, that's how it needs to be done. But if it really doesn't fit for our personality, I think we have to find the ways to make it fit. And that's your way of making the concept of time blocking not be something that you resist, but more a way that you can implement it. I think that's great.
Definitely need to work more on the distraction side, though, and not allow things to consume me. Like, I had great plans for some large blocks of study time this weekend, and I got distracted and consumed with internet problems. And the guy I have to deal with, which anyone who knows me knows how stressful that is. And it just was an absolute time drain. So I've got to find ways of not letting things like that interfere as much. And I guess keeping the motivation and the why for that traction that you've decided on, keeping that strong enough that it makes you not pay attention to things that you have to pay attention to. I've got to sort out the internet problems. That's got to be done. But to allocate some time to do it, do what I can in that time, and then stop letting it distract me, rather than it just being this constant drip, 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 drip all weekend, where the end result is I haven't got the things done that I wanted to get done.
Right, because otherwise, I think what you're describing is you end up putting it as your first and only priority. And I know it is a really high one in this example, but it then means you can't make any of the other things a priority. And so it takes all of your time and those get none of your time.
And energy. I think it's difficult, isn't it, when something taps into energy, especially stressful energy, it ends up being a real drain from other things.
Absolutely.
And I think those are the kind of things that are much more difficult to time box, really, because they keep playing on your mind.
I wonder, though, as we practice this more, we may find that they don't stay with us as long because we're not feeding them.
Good point. Well, another thing that I know that we've both been doing and we've both seen significant improvements on, and that's speed reading. Back from active learning and quicker reading episode. And we've both been doing this, and I think we've both probably doubled our word count, haven't we?
Mine's gone up at least a third, but not yet a double.
Right.
But it's been exciting, and I'm a little bit behind in the course from where some of the strategies you've learned. But even just using the one strategy. And learning to use it consistently, my reading speed has already increased that much. And so I'm confident that as I continue through and learn some other strategies, that it will be able to improve even more.
Actually, that's a good point, because I think just using that first strategy, the one that you spoke about in that episode with the tracking it with your finger, I think that one probably increased my word count about the same amount. Then he goes on to layer up with other strategies. And as you keep adding, it keeps going up, it keeps going up. It's really interesting and it definitely works. I'm finding it fascinating.
And so, to be fair to listeners, it might be helpful to let them know, Daisy and I have both enrolled in Jim Quick's learning program. I don't remember the exact title, but it's a 21-day program, is it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
To increase your reading speed, comprehension, and retention. And he really emphasizes it's not just reading quickly. You want to actually retain it and you want to comprehend it. And he uses an analogy of, you know, like your medical doctor. You don't want your doctor to have just sped through the books. You actually want them to understand it and retain it. And so I'm very excited because it's kind of a joke in the company where I work. I give out a lot of recommendations for books, and we all joke about, you know, all of the books that everyone is ordering. And as Jim Quick talks about, making sure the books you buy don't just become shelf help.
Yeah, that's funny.
And so I really am looking forward to improving my reading speed, comprehension, and retention so that I really can keep this knowledge with me when I read something versus, oh yeah, remember I read that book a couple of years ago, but I don't know much about it. So very exciting.
It's very interesting. And they use a very good method of teaching and learning. Works really well. They're quite small chunks daily. So I think each day it's only about 10, 15 minutes, isn't it, of the video, the instructional videos that you have to watch. And part of that is like a 2-minute practice. And then you have to have a time commitment of 10, 15 minutes of reading every day. But yes, it's building up these layers. And I like also the way that he's working on the speed reading first, the mechanics of that first, and then the comprehension comes next. So it's just these easy, each step is fairly easy. It reminds me of, which episode was it? Was it the brain science for growth mindset with those dopamine hits for the small steps? And that it comes from the small progress steps. Obviously, there's going to be a reward at the end as well, but it's they really reinforce the success in the steps. And funnily enough, the book I'm using is his book, Limitless. Now, I'm not that far into it, so I can't tell you how much of the speed reading tips he divulges in the book, but I think a fair amount.
Great.
And he has some lovely quotes and things, doesn't he? The book certainly is well worth a read. Recommend that.
Great. It's exciting, just as we're talking today, to me, it's exciting just by sharing these things with you, by putting these out there in episodes, it has inspired me to dig into them more. And rather than just say, oh, that sounds good, I should do that someday. You know, in the past 2 weeks, you and I have been in touch a lot about actively doing some of these things and making some significant changes. It's very motivating.
Yeah, it's been fun comparing notes.
Even though your reading speed is still faster than mine.
We started off almost exactly the same though, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes, but I'm further ahead than you, you see. I've done a couple more steps than you have.
See, so further motivation. I get a sneak preview of what's to come.
I think you'll find you'll probably be along the same steps. I tell you something else I noticed, actually. There's a huge difference in what time of day you do it. So certainly when I've done the tests that's part of the videos, I've made sure to do them all in the morning. I've noticed when I did a comparison test, my speed at night compared to my speed in the morning, there was a big, big difference in the word count.
Interesting. I guess one more episode, or actually it's a couple episodes that I kind of think of together, and I have a feeling they are the intro to a theme that we'll come back to often. And as is the idea about our beliefs and how much our beliefs shape our choices and our behaviors. So the episode you did on finding freedom from the limitations of your mind, the Peter Crone episode, and piggybacking a little bit with some of what I talked about with the Marie Forleo episode, and actually another episode that we're not talking about yet today, but the idea that our beliefs are things that we can choose and we can change. And they were good reminders to me that I still hold on to some limiting beliefs that I let get in the way of me taking certain risks or pursuing certain things. And the more I keep challenging myself to look at the beliefs and decide if there are things I want to change, that I can free myself up. So those two episodes have also been really good reminders to me.
Yes, I feel the same way. I think there's a lot of conditioning and habits that I still need to pull apart. I feel like I'm in the first stage of the process that Peter Crone talks about, and that's awareness. I'm just more and more aware of them, aware of those. When those feelings rise up, I'm much more aware of where they're coming from. And, you know, although you want to be rid of some of these limiting beliefs or whatever it is, I think sometimes it just takes a bit of time and you just have to let it unfold as it wants to, as it feels right. And I think just sort of settling into it, really, just being aware more of what's going on.
And interestingly, bringing that in a little bit with one of the themes from the conversation you had about the podcast you listened to with Jewel. So awareness and maybe watching it play out, being the observer even in that.
Mm.
What's happening for me when I have this belief? How does it play out in this scenario? And how do I feel about that now that it has happened? Because that can help inform us whether that's a belief we want to work on letting go or changing. So, you know, allowing yourself to observe how it unfolds.
And remembering that that just gives you that little bit of a distance, a little bit of distance from the emotions. So if it does bring up some quite raw emotions, if you step into that observer mode, the mindfulness mode, it just gives you that little bit of a breathing space. So you don't feel quite so overwhelmed by the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one that I continue to have to work on, and that's the defensiveness episode. Mm. That's something that I'm very aware of. It's still a stance that I naturally fall into. So I'm definitely aware of that and continue working on that. The empathy I find a lot easier, actually. Although, having said that, of course, when you're feeling defensive, it's very difficult to be empathetic at the same time. So, because I certainly like to think of myself as being empathetic, and I feel that I am a lot of the time, I guess you could label that in a form of that's your traction. That's more what you want to pull towards. And so it gives you more motivation to be aware of and control defensiveness when it rears up.
You also just made me think of the idea that defensiveness and empathy can't really exist well at the same time. But it doesn't mean we can't do or kind of still favor both, just not at the same time.
Mm.
So I can be a very empathic person. You know, if you tell me something happened to one of your animals, I can listen to you and be very empathic because I have nothing to be defensive about you sharing something difficult with your animals. I think it's more around the topics like that you talked about in that episode, you know, all that's coming up in the US right now about, and in the UK as well, and other parts of the world. Don't mean to be so centered on America, but the anti-racism.
Mm.
And for so many of us, topics like this do bring up various things. And potentially for some of us, a topic like this might bring up some more defensiveness, which would make it very hard to be empathic. Again, where when it's a topic that doesn't affect us, our belief about ourselves directly, it's much easier to be empathic. And so trying to learn to catch the defensiveness so that we can be more empathic to learn and understand others. But even in that moment, to be a little more empathic toward ourselves.
Mm, good point.
What do I have to defend against? What don't I like? What am I fearing about myself?
Mm.
We haven't mentioned this much in this episode or others, but you know, there's also the kind of backdrop that's always going on of our interactions and just how we record these and do these. And I don't know that our readers or listeners know, but we don't tell each other ahead of time what we're going to share. We've decided that we want it to be fresh to the other. And I'll never forget that day we were recording because you go first and you bring that out as the topic. And I remember, like, you know, my stomach just dropped. I'm like, oh, here we go. And it's not that it's not a topic that I didn't want us to discuss or anything. Of course, based on what we talked about, it was one that I wanted to have my thoughts kind of sorted out. I wanted to decide how to present them. And so to have this just kind of off the cuff conversation about it, I think really made me nervous. So I really, at the moment, was very stressed about it, but I really liked that episode. And I like that we don't let each other know ahead of time that we're what we're going to talk about.
It's funny, yeah, because that reminds me now you're talking about it, how overwhelming I found it. It was something I'd planned out quite a lot in advance, but yeah, I found very difficult when we recorded. It's interesting, the different perspectives, isn't it, though? Because what I took away from that was your influence on it and your influence on me and taking me from feeling very overwhelmed and, oh, what have I started with this episode? I feel a bit lost now, to really calming down. I literally could feel myself calming down.
Well, you know, it's an occupational hazard of being a psychologist for years. Yeah.
I think I commented, didn't I, afterwards, that when I did the edit, I sent you a message saying, yeah, that definitely felt like a therapy session. So what are you feeling overall about the podcast, how it's gone so far, where it goes from here? I know I feel sometimes like I had to firmly nudge you into agreeing to record with me in the first place. We've been speaking about it for a long, long time. And I kept prodding and I kept prodding. And you finally agreed. And so, you know, how are you feeling about it? How has it impacted you overall?
Yes, I think I was very reluctant at first. And based on what we're talking about today, it's probably pretty clear. I have found this for myself to be very useful. It has, I think, even honed in my podcast listening and reading a little more to look for things and think about how I want to share them. So that's been helpful. And then the topics that you and I have chosen are things that have helped motivate me and guide me through some changes. And then getting to hear back from listeners has been really helpful. Mm. People who comment on our social media posts. I feel very fortunate that a number of people that I work with are listening, so clients of the fasting method, and they give feedback. And that's been really motivating for me to hear that there are people listening and that it's useful information to them and that they're enjoying it. So that's been really exciting. How about you?
Yes, I think the same way. I think being immersed in this kind of media, being, you know, knowing that you've got to come up with something for an episode, like you say, you're forced in a way to be listening to these podcasts and watching things on YouTube, reading, whatever it is. But it builds this momentum. You know, I know with periods of time when I haven't felt good and I've been depressed and I shut myself off from things like that. I shut myself off from things that I know will help, but you don't feel like doing them. Well, this has sort of forced me into this groove, but then it's built its own momentum. And, you know, just surrounding yourself. And I think that's just a really good thing for people to take away is, you know, surround yourself with the right people, with the right podcast, the right things to listen to and watch, because it really does start the ball rolling in the right direction. And I, like you, I really like, it's been really wonderful hearing that feedback. And it's not just people saying, oh, hey, I like the podcast. And they say that too. But it's knowing that people are getting something from it and that they're engaging with it and making comments that you can tell that they've been trying some of the things out. They've been putting some of the things into action. And that, like you say, yeah, that's really rewarding and it's really motivating. And we'd like to hear more.
I was just going to say.
And suggestions as well. You know, suggestions yeah. for topics that you'd like us to talk about. We're always open to suggestions. We put extra things on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Monday Mindset Podcast. Obviously, the typical things about the podcast that week, but we add things like extra quotes. So there are other things of interest there, and it's a good opportunity to engage with us.
You know, Daisy, something that I've learned over the past couple of years listening to you with the Keto Woman podcast and now doing this one and seeing the amount of time and effort that you put in with the recording, the editing process, the publishing everything, getting everything where it needs to be at the right time and everything. It's made me think a lot about how do we support people similar to people who share recipes online. You know, you have to be on there a certain amount of time for them to kind of get any financial reward from that. And I know that asking people to support something financially is not something you or I really like to do, but I'm very aware on my end, my time commitment for this is fairly low. And I know that your time commitment for this is quite great. And so I wondered if you could tell us at all about the Patreon account that you have and how people could access that if they want to support this podcast.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I do have a Patreon account. You can find it at patreon.com/ketowoman. But I can also put a link in the description so it's easy to find. You can basically subscribe. It's like a membership account, I guess, where you support your creator with a monthly pledge. And it can be any amount you like. There are different tiers that are set with different rewards. One of the most popular, actually, is the Daisy's Lovelies tier. I have a private Facebook group for us, and we meet up every Saturday for a coffee morning, evening, nighttime, depending whereabouts we are in the world, the time zone differences. But there are different tiers that people can sign up for, or like I say, you can just specify whatever pledge amount you want. And that helps a great deal. I mean, the podcasts themselves cost money to produce. You know, there's an actual cost outlay that I have to make to get them out to you and to keep them up for you to listen to. And then obviously there's my time with the editing. And anyone who knows me knows I'm probably a little bit too particular with the editing, so it takes me an awful long time. So I'm very appreciative of anyone who wants to support me in that way. But the other thing you can do that costs nothing is to give us a review, is to rate and review us on whichever podcatcher you listen to us on. That really helps a lot because it just increases exposure and gets us more listeners.
Great. I think that's been really informative for me, or like I said, over the past couple of years, because I see the amount of work you put in. When I listen to you and I record these and then I hear the result, it's amazing what you do as an editor. And, you know, like you said, just the cost of publishing it. And I think for so long being just a consumer of it, my thought is, what do you mean this is free? I listen to this free every week. What do you mean it costs money? And so I think it's really helpful to remind me that there are ways to support the creators of content. So thank you.
Well, thank you. This has, I get a bit soppy now, but this podcast in particular, I've really not only enjoyed, I enjoy making it. I enjoy listening again when I come to edit it. I feel it's really deepened and strengthened our friendship. It just, we seem to just go, you know, one level after another. And I really, really value that. But you've helped me so much. I mean, you know, and people who know me know that I had a long period of feeling very not good. And this has really helped me really change the way I've been thinking, really change the direction my life is going in. I mean, you know, we've had lots of chats about this, but it's really made me think very carefully about, you know, what I want to do with the rest of my life. So it's had a really far-reaching impact. So thank you for sharing your time with me every week.
Absolutely. And likewise, this is probably not saying it strongly enough, but a very grounding activity for me, the time that you and I spend together. And again, listeners don't know this because the podcast episode might be 20 minutes long, but when we record two of them, we might be talking for 3 or more hours. So it has become a very significant, like I said, a grounding force for me of, you know, a friend that I can talk to about anything and lean on. So thank you for everything you've done. And thank you for nudging me to do this.
I felt it was the right thing. The universe was telling me something.
That's right. And sometimes we don't know why, but it's telling us what we need to hear. So I'm glad I listened to you.
I hope everyone out there has enjoyed listening to this episode with a bit of a rambly chat. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Take care, everybody. Don't forget, leave us a review. Decide if you want to join in any way with Patreon. Give us some feedback, things you would like to hear us talk about. We're open to what you're listening for. Enjoy your week, everyone.